Golf Smarter number 611 is brought to you by Ledbury, makers of high-quality dress shirts that look great and are delivered to your front door. Save 20% off your first order at ledbury.com/golfsmarter. And this episode is also available as a video that includes additional material not in this podcast version, which will become pretty obvious why once you hear the episode. To see it, go to golfsmarter.com or subscribe to our channel at youtube.com/golfsmarterTV. Win a swing coach club from Dean Reinmuth. Here's part two, more on learning to fix your swing speed and tempo.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Dean.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So listen, there was a part of our conversation in the last episode that I cut out from that episode, so I can introduce it here. And here's what you asked. You proposed a question to me, and here's what it is.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, which we never got to, which is, do you have a capability of making a swing inside?
No.
Okay. So when you go outside, what I want you to do for me, I want you to take video of your swing with the swing coach.
Okay.
And then I want you to, don't put a ball in it. I just want you to make the swing with it. And then I want you to send it to me. And what I'm going to do, just send it from the front. I don't need the back.
So looking, wait, when you say the front, that
face onto the camera.
Okay, face onto the camera. Okay.
Right. And I want you to make three swings at speed 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
All right, and then you send it to me.
All right.
And I'll take a look. And I'll tell you how, and then I'm going to help you learn how to use it so that you can explain how it works for you to your audience.
Awesome. Okay, now we're back to this week's conversation. And per your request, I did send video, reluctantly, I did send you video of my swing with the swing coach. You asked for three swings. And we'll take a look at them right now. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening, then you missed it. But if you can go to the YouTube channel, and we'll put that up there because we'll include this conversation. Okay, Coach, what'd you find?
Okay, so when you watch the swing, if you look at, you probably wouldn't notice it at full speed because your eyes, just like anything else, they have to get trained to see things at a fast rate of speed, but you see them in slow motion, right? So what you do on radio now and podcast is a lot of it's automatic. You know, you can just move around, hit buttons and dial this in and go over here and spin around in your chair and do all that stuff and not have to think about it. Well, when you took the three swings, what I noticed is that as you swing, you tilt your shoulders very high. Yep, just like that. And when you do that, your body weight actually transfers backward toward your right foot because the tilt is so high. It's like an uphill shot where you can't get off the right leg because you're swinging uphill a lot. And what will happen when you do that is as you remember, your shoulders don't move on as big of a radius as the club does. So as your shoulders go that high, it's really difficult to get the club to catch up on that outer circle. You ever been to the ice skating rink when they had the ice skaters and they go and they have that big long chain line and the guy in the center is walking really slow and the guy trying to catch up on the outer side is just running like crazy on ice skates?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically the club head.
Okay.
And the club head is trying to catch up to that first guy in the very center. That first guy in the center is actually your left shoulder because your left shoulder is the center of the circle. Uh-huh. So if you set up there, the center of the circle starts at your left shoulder, and the club is that outer circumference, right? Okay. And what happens, it goes all the way back, and it has to come back to where it started. So if you can picture a pendulum has a focal point, a center point, and everything swings around that. Well, that's actually your left shoulder. And so when your left shoulder starts at one level, and by the time you get to impact, it's tilted way up like this, the club head actually is dropping way behind you like this. So you're at this angle and you started at setup at this angle. So my shoulders now are more level. They're slightly skewed, but not much.
And
by the time you got the impact, your shoulders were skewed like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what that does is it delays the club head in getting to impact, and it changes the angle of approach that you come into the ball, because your shoulders aren't more level to the ground. So when you look, if you were to compare your swing to Adam Scott, your shoulder tilt angle is much more severe than Adam Scott's is. Adam Scott's is going to be almost level, slight uptick, right? And that's where the tour player gets the consistency, because they return closer to the way they set up. They don't set up one way and then return to a whole different angle. And when you do that with the swing coach, when you go out, what I'll tell you is that your ball will travel high and pretty far left. That'll be the first thing that'll happen.
Notice okay? that.
Right. And that's why. Because what the swing coach is telling you is that there's a flaw here. Your physics aren't matching what your body feels like.
Okay.
You feel like you're creating speed at impact, when in reality, you're creating more speed after impact, which is when the ball is released. So, for example, if you did it where your shoulder started level and swung back to level and got to 70 miles an hour, the ball would come out toward the target. If you started with your shoulders level, tilt your shoulders really high at impact, and then try to release the club at the same time, that ball's going to take off on a whole different path, high and left.
Okay, so did I start with my shoulders tilted at all, or did it end up
this
that
slightly
way?
Because, yeah, well, watch. If you put both hands together out in front of
right.
you, right, your shoulders are going to be pretty level.
Right.
Now, push your right hand lower than your left a little bit, because that's how you hold the club, right?
Okay.
All right. So you have your right shoulder slightly down.
Right.
Just because your right hand's lower on the grip. Now, compare that shoulder angle tilt to what you had in the photo that I took of the still photo I took of the slow-mo.
Right.
And your shoulders are much more tilted. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
See,
yeah.
They're like that. And what happens when you do that is, first, the body weight hangs on the right leg, and then the club is behind your chest. So your chest is over here, and the club is way back over here, and then it has to try to play catch up. So your timing is very difficult, but your angles are wrong. Because if you hit the ball, your ball would tend to come out two ways. Well, actually, you catch it slightly fat or heavy, and you catch it under the ball or thin. Those three contact feelings, not the real compressed feeling. And the ball would have a tendency to flight higher. So a 5 iron might flight like a 7 iron. There was a story about Hogan years ago. A guy was watching him play, and he says, "Oh, you're perfect. That's perfect." And Hogan said, "No, it's not. That one's higher than the other one. And if it's higher than the other one, it can't track on the same arc, which means it's not going to carry and roll the same way."
Interesting. So a couple months ago, or even less than that, there's one teacher that I work with face to face. As many teachers as I talk to, and as much as I learn, I try not to have too many teachers messing with my swing, which probably makes sense,
idea.
Right? Because if I listen to every single guy, I'd be out of my mind.
In the kitchen,
and
right?
There have been times where I was completely out of my mind, overloaded with information from these conversations.
Yeah. Typically, that's what happens. Unfortunately, that's the nature of your business.
Sure.
Is that you collect and talk and discuss things, and in the middle of your swing, you know, all of a sudden this thought comes
There's
in your
all
head.
These voices I've been, all over my head going on.
Yeah, I was dealing with my daughter for her singing stuff, and Val Garay, the producer, I was in the middle of a top of my backswing, and all of a sudden I had some thought about Val, and so I called him at the end of the day. I said, "Stay out of my backswing." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm right in the middle of my swing, and all I thought about was Val."
So what I came to him with is that when I had my last lesson with him, and it's like I've had three lessons with him over 15 plus years, but it's always been a very effective lesson, and he communicates very
don't
well.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah, right. I don't want to spend any money on this when I can get all these for nothing. So I went to him saying, "I'm pulling the ball. If I make a mistake, I'm duck pull left.
Pulling left.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Last time I was with you, you taught me how to hit a draw. I finally understood what it meant to hit the draw, and I was hitting it beautifully on my driver and stuff, but it's disappeared. And so I mm-hmm. came back to him saying, how do I get rid of that pull left over there, and where did the draw go? And he was mm-hmm. telling me that my shoulders were level and that I needed mm-hmm. to get my right shoulder like a little more forward so that my hands can free up to go a release straight ahead as opposed to my release back here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Now I'm totally confused between the two of you.
Well, if you think about it, if you start at point A and you wanted to return to Z, why wouldn't you just start at Z and go back to Z? So in other words, you're starting in position A and then you're returning back to impact at Z. So what's the benefit of that?
So you're saying my shoulder's level.
Well, and here's what's happened is that you could be, and I don't know which one you are, you're either an undercorrector or an overcorrector. So when I'm coaching someone, I have to be careful to know whether you're an overcorrector or undercorrector. And with the lack of and the gap of time between your sessions, you may have totally overcooked what he asked you
sure.
to do. And that's where you have to become a better coach of yourself, which is why, you know, I like anything that helps you have more awareness of what your swing is doing versus what someone else's swing is doing. That's what I'm in favor of, because ultimately you have to be able to self-adjust when you're
sure.
playing. You're out there for, you know, 5 hours, and you just can't wait until next week's lesson if you can't figure that out. But that's a little bit slower process to learn how to actually coach yourself versus just take a tip and, you know, try it.
Right.
So, you know, tasting a food and being a chef is different. So the key is, you know, you have to see and understand when you're doing something like this, are you overcorrecting it and going too far the extreme on the other side? Because this is like a balancing thing. You know, if you took a coin and put it on your desk and tried to balance it between head and tails, that's a small margin. It falls over one way or falls over the other way, but every once in a while, if you're patient, you can get it on the edge. Well, golf requires that balance in the middle, and all parts have to be balanced in order for the swing to really work. And what I was seeing in that is that your shoulder movement going upward like this is overstated for the way your swing should work mm-hmm. to get it to what we call flight it properly.
Okay.
And then what that means is a 7-iron goes off at a 7-iron trajectory. It doesn't go off in an 8 or a 9-iron trajectory. If a 7-iron goes off, you might hit it in the center of the face, but if it goes off at a 9-iron trajectory, it's not traveling 7-iron
no.
distance. Because there's air time and ground time. And once you start taking off that high, you can't possibly go there unless you really crank up the RPMs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where I want you to be careful. And what I wanted you to know is when you use the swing coach, what you want to do is try to get the ball to come off low to the ground first, even if it slightly bounces out in front of you on the ground, and then slowly elevate till it comes off at the right pitch level.
Ooh.
So okay.
I have the swing coach here again with me. This time
right.
I put a Golf Smarter ball in there. So
uh-huh. okay.
okay. So yep. now what can I do consistently to get that using this training aid?
Using the swing coach, right?
Using this
what
swing
you're
going
to do,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you're going to try to bounce the ball slightly in front of where you're starting the swing. Okay, so bounce it toward your left foot area,
mm-hmm.
you know, in front of your left foot, like where you tee up a driver.
Okay.
And then try to bounce it, and then try to bounce it, you know, 3 or 5 yards farther out in front of that. And then 10 yards out in front of that. So you're going to keep getting the ball to take off low first
wow.
and hit the ground out in front of you. And then slowly try to keep making it hit farther and farther out on the range. And what that'll do is it'll actually start to adjust your shoulders from this tilt down to this tilt, because as it's at this tilt and you get the speed at the bottom, it'll come out lower.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you'll utilize it. And when it comes out low like that, it won't be going left. It'll actually come out more than likely low and a little right, because you'll get the maximum speed a little bit too early.
Well, that's one of the things that I like about this product is that you get immediate feedback. I mean, there's so many coaches that we've talked to over the years have said, really, what I need to be able to do is to give you an understanding of what you're doing so you can self-correct, which we've been talking
about. That's right.
Those are the best coaches, right? They can teach you how to have that awareness and understanding of what's going wrong instead of, I lifted my head.
Well, exactly. And the fact is that, you know, look, nobody signs up for golf lessons for life. So as a coach, what you're trying to do is to help this person improve so that, and other people see that it actually happened, and then they come to you to improve so they all get better and they play more. That's really the job. It's kind of like a parent. Your job is to teach them how not to need you and to grow away from needing you every day,
yep.
Right? So as a coach, that's the same thing I try to do and we try to do. So we have to, otherwise you'll never get better. And then people will say, well, that guy didn't help him. So, you know, when we have looking like we can't teach. And the essence is if we don't train you as a student how to teach yourself when you're with yourself better and more effectively, then you won't improve and neither one of us will.
Right. So this is at the driving range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just ball
yep.
after ball. And plus what I like about that is you have to reload the club each time. So you're not just going swing, strike, you know, and then drag it
right.
over, swing.
Hit.
Yeah,
hit.
Yeah. It's yeah. avoiding that. So you really do have to,
right.
okay, that went this way, that went left. It didn't go high. Okay, now I need to make, right.
Right. And what it'll tell you also is whether your swing had the consistency of smoothness, kind of that effortless, really fluid feeling, or it felt like it was jumping someplace.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It was going fast in this area or slow here and fast over here.
Yeah.
So that feedback is really, really critical. And it's so critical for people who are learning the game, because as you become better, the swing coach helps you in a different way because you already know that feeling.
Right.
Right? So you can do that already. But what it helps you then is kind of stay on track with your old pattern, which you didn't like, versus the new pattern, because you can sense the club drifting a little bit out in the swing plane. It's not in quite close enough coming inside. It drifts out a little bit on the downswing. The ball starts to shoot out a little bit to the left. In the beginning with the average person, when they do this, it goes out, sometimes can go out way left because their speed is so late in the swing that they never get up to speed. You know, that's like a runway and the plane's going down the runway at 5 miles an hour. And when they get there near the end, they gun it, hoping that they can take off in the last 10 feet.
That's not going to work.
It won't happen. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And I know.
And that becomes.
When I have a nice smooth swing, boy, do I feel it. And it feels so different. And
right.
sometimes it takes me like, slow down. What are you trying to do?
Right. And what happens with this, because there's no relevance to contact. So what happens with this, when I was at the PGA show in Orlando, the guy says, oh, you're really good at that. I said, well, I have a very consistent swing. Mm. So I'm attuned to it. So I can do this over and over and over, which is what you see tour players do on the range. And but the average person doesn't. They would vary their speeds. It's just like a race car driver who's shifting gears. The average person is over rev it, under rev it, you know, when they shift. And the guy, you know, who's a race car driver who's going through the gears quick, he can hear when the engine's RPMs are at the right moment and just shifts.
Sure.
He doesn't have to look at the tachometer, doesn't have to kind of guess it. You know, they just kind of do it. That's what this does. Mm-hmm. It helps you every single swing. It'll tell you, was it smooth? Was it a little bit late with the speed? Was it a little early with the speed? Was it a little too far outside in, or was it too far inside out? And as I said, the hardest thing to help somebody with is it's not relevant to contact. If you make good swings, you'll hit good shots. This trains good swings, and then the good swings turn into good shots.
I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with people like, you know, that trying to get the point across that the contact is just the middle of your swing. That's not the end of your swing.
Yeah. No, and you can make bad swings and make good contact.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Oh,
you know,
I did that for years.
I can stand there. Yeah, and they're not effective, they're not efficient, and they're certainly not consistent, but you can do
sure.
it. It just isn't one that you want to use every day.
Right.
You know.
One of the first things that caught my attention with this when I pulled it out of the box was it had a head on it that kind of looked like a driver, and then I put it in my hands like, this isn't even close to being a driver. It's, you know.
Right.
So this is
right.
more iron length, correct?
Oh yeah, it's a 7-iron
length.
Yeah, it's not long. And the reason for the driver's size head is because it looks more pleasing, but you have to have a place to put the cradle and protect it.
Right.
And, you know, do all the internal stuff. And then, you know, I came up with the idea of Ferrari Red. So.
Why?
For all those speedsters out there that like to hit the ball far, I thought it would look cool.
But they, you want them to slow down.
You know, but they're not going to. So what you're trying to do is to train them how to swing correctly. Now, we do have additional cradles that hold the ball at a stronger strength, so it would require more speed to get up to speed. And that spacer in there then turns it into less strength against the ball, which then can work out for pitching so that the body and the club are traveling in harmony like a pitch shot.
And so give me one more explanation of when the spacer comes out, when you use it, when you don't use it.
If you put the spacer in, and that's what it comes with, installed,
right there.
Then the ball, when it's in there, will go, you'll need about 25 to 30 miles an hour maximum to eject the ball. Now, if it comes out, if you have a spacer and you take it and snatch it back really quick, the ball actually pop out because you're pulling it back really fast.
Right.
So you have it teaches you that, you know, the volley in tennis where you go back and forward together. It teaches you that swing in golf when the spacer's in there with a regular golf ball. Because you have to have that. And that's what gives you the consistency, because it's not, you're not delaying the acceleration. It's just even. So that spacer ends that, and then when you use a real ball, that ball, depending on, you know, the type of ball you have, it's probably, in terms of the how old it is, will go somewhere, it'll eject at about 65 to 70 miles an hour.
I got to believe you get approached on a daily basis with people having ideas of a new product to stick out in the market. When I went to a PGA merch show in Las Vegas one year, I haven't been to Orlando, and it just blew my mind how many people were there to introduce a new tee, thinking they're going to give up their job selling insurance because they've come up with a new tee. There's always somebody who's got a new idea. What was it about this, the swing coach, that caught your attention and said, okay, this one I understand. This one makes sense to me.
Well, at first they sent it to me. I get this stuff, and I thought, what is this, right? Now, it looked like a plumber tool. And so I tried it, and I went out in the backyard, and I said, I got to see what this is. And Chris had called me from the company and said, I understand you looked at this, you know, before. And I said, yeah, but it didn't work. And so, you know, I'm not going to do anything with it, because I said, I understand the concept. I like the idea. Because I love anything that can train a golfer and remove the hit impulse, because everybody's so focused on contact that they're oblivious to everything else. So I like that concept. And I like the concept that you weren't strapped into something or wearing it, or, you know, I just don't like those things. They're cumbersome to me. So that's what I initially, and then I understand the concept of the, you know, how you get the feeling of throwing the club, the ball toward the target, you know, the Toski had used and
Shoemaker
a few other people
uses.
Exactly. Right. And so I thought, well, if this could do that and it could remove the hit impulse and get them focused only on the swing itself and what direction and what speed, that you could have something. So I did it. And then I called Chris at the company. I said, well, I still like the idea, but it still doesn't work. And he said, well, we're going to, you know, put some money behind this. That's Chris Chamberlain, who's the CEO. And he said, but we'd like you to see if you can get it to function. I said, well, I won't endorse anything or, you know, be a part of the company and help this thing in any way if it's not going to work. So it has to work. That's number one. And then we'll see where that goes. So I went out and played with it in my backyard, and I kept playing with it, and we were going back and forth with adding additional rubber bands around the outer part of the cradle to hold the ball stronger because it was slipping out and I couldn't get it to move. Ended up going to L.A. This Rodney Jerkin's son took a swing at it and broke the cradle. I came home, and I kept saying to Chris, I said, it's still not working right. And I was telling Bill the same thing. There's something not right. So I came home. I woke up about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Went, I think I know what it is. So I went out my backyard. I broke the other part of the cradle so I could turn the cradle around in circles. And then I took gaff tape and taped it in place where I wanted it. I went out and I put it in and I swung it and it worked. I said, that's what it is. I called Bill at 5 a.m. my time, which is 8 Eastern, okay. Eastern. And I said, why did you put the cradle prongs at the shaft playing angle instead of on the swing
right,
playing
line?
Right,
we talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, well, because everybody talks about the shaft playing. I said, yeah, but not that. That's why everything's going out to the left. You can't control it. So as soon as I changed that and they were there, then it was, well, I can only swing it so it goes like 30 yards. You know, I want to have one where I can swing it slow speed, medium, and fast as I want so that I can train my swing at every level that I intend to swing at, not just one dimensional. And so that's when we started putting rubber bands around to hold the ball stronger to see how it would react. And, you know, we tested it with longer shafts and, you know, a bunch of different things. So that testing process went on for almost a year.
Wow. And at what point did you go, all right, now Ferrari red?
Yeah. Well, that was, that was like October of last year.
Oh, okay. And when is the product been on the market for a while, or are we just introducing it now?
Well, we introduced it at the PGA show, but it hasn't been. It's just now getting some, you know, some movement because we had to get it out and test it a little bit. But two, you know, then you need to educate the public on what it is and how it works because nobody's ever seen anything like it. You know, it's hard to explain to somebody. If you looked at it on a shelf, you'd say, what in the world's that?
How's that going to help? Yeah.
So, well, exactly. And so they have to know that. The hard part is knowing that when the club is doing it, and I've just had this robot called Eldrick. It's like an Iron Byron, but it's portable.
Right.
So Eldrick just used it at the driving range. And I'm going to show people from the video that Eldrick, when you put him, dial him up to a certain speed, which is the speed the prong is supposed to hold the ball at and come at, it works.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that I got to speak to you more than once and more than the 30 minutes we budgeted for this is I'm so grateful for this. And the fact that you looked at my swing, I appreciate it. And I'm sure everyone's going to have a great time looking at my swing. So thank you again. This is
so two things
please.
For you. One, when you use the swing coach, use it like I told you to, which is start by just let the ball scurry along the ground or bounce slightly in front of where you're standing first, and then try to next swing, move the bouncing area out a little farther away from you.
Yep.
All right. What that'll do is instinctively start to slow the shoulder activity down and increase the club head speed. Instead of your shoulder speed being very active and the club head speed being slow, we're going to reverse
that. Okay.
And then the second thing, when you're practicing with real golf balls on the golf course, start working on hitting the ball low, like a low shot under a tree branch.
Oh, boy.
And that will level the shoulders down. They won't pop up so much at the same
time. Okay.
Okay. So both of those things will
help. It's different on the driving range than if you were to just take it out on the course? Just because of the balls?
What I'm saying is when you hit golf balls, your instinct is going to be to tilt this. What I want you to do is change the instinct. Say, well, if I was going to hit the ball low under a tree, I'd do it like this, not like this, because that would go over the tree. And that'll plane your swing off so you'll get in a better technical impact position, which is the same thing as the swing coach will do.
Fabulous. That's really cool.
Okay.
Thank you, Dean.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Leadberry. Now, if you're like me, finding the perfect button-down shirt that fits right, isn't baggy, and doesn't look cheap is a challenge. And I'm not actually thrilled about wearing the same clothes that every other guy is wearing. Of course, I want to look good, but I prefer to stand apart without standing out, if you know what I mean. So when I have an important meeting or just getting gussied up for a night out, wearing a great-fitting, high-quality shirt makes me feel great. And my wife likes it, too. So do me a favor. Go to leadberry.com/golfsmarter. Leadberry is L-E-D as in David, B as in boy, U-R-Y, L-E-D-B-U-R-Y. That's ledbury.com/golfsmarter and check out the selection of European quality shirts that won't cost a premium price. And beyond price, you get fabrics that are sourced in Italy, a selection of high-quality sports coats, pants, sweaters, and ties, and first-rate customer service. If you need help, you're not going to get an overseas call center. The expert stylists at Ledbury know their products. They know what's in style, and they know what's appropriate to wear in different occasions and how to make sure you get the fit that looks like it was tailor-made just for you. That's probably why Ledbury has received over 1,000 five-star reviews. Actually, if you'd like to see the beautiful sweater that I got from Ledbury, check out the video from this week's episode because I'm wearing it. And I'm cozy in it, and I'm loving it, and Dean noticed it too. So visit ledbury.com/golfsmarter today and use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER and get 20% off your first order. That's ledbury.com/golfsmarter, or simply click on the link in today's show notes. Now, if you didn't hear the last conversation with Dean, then please check it out to learn more about what we've been talking about in today's episode. And if you'd like to work with a swing coach club, then you should know that Dean is giving away two of them to Golf Smarter listeners next episode. But not just a swing coach. You'll get more than that. You'll get, I'm blown away by this. Dean has agreed to do what you just heard for you. And that's to review a video of your swing with the swing coach and provide you with analysis of what he sees in your swing and the best way to use swing coach to improve it. We're going to announce the first two winners on our next episode, so enter right now. You've got till next Monday, November 20th. It's the deadline to enter. Do it now. It's simple. Just click on the link in today's show notes or go to golfsmarter.com and click on the Swing Coach banner on the right side of the page. There you'll be able to register to win. No purchase necessary. Now, speaking of purchases that you don't have to make, if you can't wait to hear your name that you've won one and you want the Swing Coach as soon as you possibly can, then go to www.swingcoach.com. Yeah, you got to add the www. It's necessary for this site. www.swingcoach.com and save 20% on your order with the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. So whether you win one or buy one with the checkout code GOLFSMARTER, you're going to save money and improve your swing. Sign up now to win at golfsmarter.com. And please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Connect with us at Golf Smarter. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for new guests, which keep coming in, and I'm doing my best to get everybody signed in. Anyway, to get that information to me, click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.